T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Oh, yeah. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are in the final hour. And just a programming note, if you're just joining us, Tom will be back on Monday. All right. So I appreciate everyone texting, asking where Tom is. We all want Tom back. It is Tom's show. Tom will be back on Monday. So get ready. 2 o'clock Monday, you will hear Tom's voice, well-rested and ready to go. Tomorrow, Mike Siegel will be in for Tom Bowerly. And I'm sorry to inform you, I will be in for David Bellavia. But Monday, the lineup's back. The lineup that you know and love is back, full strength, and ready to go. But thank you so much for joining me, as it's been kind of an all-over week. I was off for a week, came back yesterday. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining Mike Siegel. Mike, doing a great show this morning, actually. A nice lead-in for me, talking around the same types of things. Like I said, he'll be in 2 to 6 tomorrow. Let's go to Charlie in Buffalo. Charlie, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Charlie. What do you think of the Mercy Hospital situation?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to come to an agreement right away. It may take a while. And I think if it doesn't come, I really believe it's going to come to a strike.
And what do you think of the effect on the community? Are you worried about anything, maybe not you, but someone you know, having their services either suspended or delayed because of now other hospitals having to take care of what Mercy Hospital is turning away?
I haven't got anybody in that condition, but I feel that it shouldn't have even happened. They should stay open, negotiate, come to an agreement as soon as possible before tomorrow night, and then and put everybody back to work the way they should.
Yeah, it's scary to think that, you know, that's more hospital beds not in use here in Western New York.
Exactly. And I'll give you another example. My wife, God bless her, where she's resting in peace. She's been gone now. It will be 4 years this coming December. She was 65 years old. I had her, and she had a lot wrong with her, with mental illness and heart trouble and all of that. So she couldn't hardly even walk because she had arthritis. And she kept falling down several different times at home. So finally, I wind up getting her in the hospital at Kenmore Mercy, whatever. And what happened was they treated her for her sugar and her sugar diabetes. They treated her for that and got it well, stabilized. Sent her back to, because now with the – hang on for a minute. I'm sorry about that. So anyways, what happened was I got her into Kenmore Mercy Hospital for her physical. I should have put her in ECMC for her physical and her mental condition. But she went to Kenmore Mercy Hospital. Now, they told her she wouldn't respond to physical therapy. So she did at the end, after a whole week, they wound up putting her into a nursing home. No nursing home would take her, with the exception for Sheridan Manor. They've had her in there. They said, make sure that you, it's short term and never put long term in. I wound up doing that. I wound up visiting her every day of the week, and I stayed with her until visiting hours were over with. So the short term is that she wound up, the last time she was in Kenmore Mercy Hospital, the one person who worked in physical therapy came and said, well, you know, your wife is about ready to go, because she was dying. She had kidney problems and her mental illness. So she was going to go out of this world anyways. But the factor is, and I felt really bad. We were married 48 years and I lost her. She was the love of my life. But anyways, with this gentleman that was in physical therapy, he said, well, we can't keep her here at Kenmore Mercy Hospital. This is not a hotel. That got me really, really, really teed off that he would say something like that, you know? So it went back that she took her, they sent her to the nursing home, back to the nursing home, and that's where she had finally passed away a couple weeks later. So I tried to sue the nursing home, but no lawyer would touch it because, you know, I went for negligence, but no lawyers would touch it, you know? So that's where I was saying, you know, why I'm calling you, to let you know what hospitals do sometimes. And she was in Kenmore Mercy, which is a Catholic hospital. But as far as the nurses at Mercy Hospital, I strongly believe that they should go really back to work. And corporate and the union should wind up coming to an agreement right away before the deadline.
Yeah.
I worked at Sisters Hospital for 17 years doing janitorial work. And the union I had was an AFL-CIO hospital and nursing home union. They didn't do nothing for me when I wound up having a problem with my... I was doing really good until they wound up changing supervisors and whatever. And all of a sudden, I was doing really good. I worked hard. Everybody that called in sick, they always came. My bosses would always come to me and ask me if I want to work, you know, a couple hours overtime, 4 or 5 hours overtime. I accepted it. Even on the weekends that I had off, I wound up going into work.
Yeah.
I had a family to support, and at that time, and I wound up doing that.
Well, Charlie, I'm sorry for the experience you had. I mean, that makes my heart hurt. What you went through, you know, the with your wife, and we all we're sorry for your loss, and just the way you were treated. That's not right for anyone. But we appreciate you sharing the story, Charlie, in Buffalo. Let's stay in Buffalo and go to Mary. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on.
Yes, Mary. What's the situation you're seeing?
A couple points I want to make. I've been a nurse for 35 years. We have been screaming from the rooftops for decades that what is going on in healthcare is not right, it's not sustainable, and that we cannot take care of the patients the way they need and deserve to be taken care of. It has become such a mill to churn the patients through the system. And the system, it gets bottlenecked. There are patients on gurneys lining halls of emergency rooms, waiting to get into a room in the emergency room. There are patients waiting in ambulances, waiting to even be brought into the emergency room to be seen by a physician. There are nurses running back and forth between the emergency room to the ambulances, pulling them away from patients that they are supposed to be taking care of. They have had 15 months to negotiate this contract. We have been talking about staffing for decades. There was another point that a gentleman before made about if you're not union, you can't work. That is absolutely not true. There's language built into contracts where extra shifts, extra time is offered to union members first. And if those shifts are not picked up, then they can be filled by any means possible, including managers. Healthcare workers have been begging managers, supervisors, CEOs, come out of your office, spend 8 hours, spend 12 hours, put some scrubs on, go clean a room, housekeepers, dietary, every single job title that is working in the hospital system is killing themselves to do right by the patient. And that's almost to our own fault because as a healthcare worker, you put yourself last and you want to take care of that patient. And we're to a point where we can't do it anymore. We are mentally, physically exhausted and broken. And it's not for lack of wanting to work or want to be out there and provide the best care possible. We are literally doing this to bring light to the fact that if nurses are willing to walk out, there's something very wrong on the inside.
Mary, you know, you mentioned those hospital beds lining the hallway, like a caller last hour mentioned. Do nurses get assigned to the hospital beds in the hallway?
If there's enough nurses to go around. But typically what we see now is they have cut ancillary staff. They have cut ancillary staff to the bare minimum bones. I heard a CEO last year say that they were empowering the nurses by cutting the ancillary staff, giving them more time to be with the patient and do bed baths and skin assessments. We don't have time to do that. We are literally trying to catch people from extremely dangerous circumstances. You have to be able to recognize and see a patient that is going to have a life-threatening change in condition in an instant. The conditions have been going on and getting worse for years and years and years.
Let me ask you, what is your usual patient-to-nurse ratio, and what has it been the last few months?
The last few months, it's been 1 to 6.
Wow.
Good day, 1 to 8. Nurses in ICUs are tripled. Tripled. That's 3 critical care patients in an intensive care unit for 1 nurse.
Wow. That seems almost impossible to deal with, Mary.
It is. As healthcare workers, this is not why we got into healthcare. We got into healthcare to help people. And as I said, 15 months to negotiate a contract, why this last minute rush, angst, so on and so forth? They've been at the table. I don't understand why at the 11th hour they're finally realizing that there's staff that's going to be willing to walk out to fight for patient care.
It's a question many have, Mary. Thank you so much for your call and shedding some light on what's going on. And Mary's call, it's being echoed by so many people on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board as well. These accounts of the issues and what that's led to when it comes to patient care. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And you heard Mary at the end of her call say, why are we waiting to the last possible minute? And she's not wrong. We are 6.5 hours away from the deadline. Now, the strike would start at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And all you need to know, it'll be right here on WBEN. We will have nonstop coverage of what is going on throughout the morning here on WBEN. So no reason to go anywhere else. But as Mary mentioned, it is the last possible minute. The deadline is midnight and we are approaching 5:30. So just to give you an idea of where we are and when something needs to be done by, time is ticking. And like I said, Catholic Health came out with a virtual press conference, and they were talking about their plan if there's a strike. So that doesn't seem promising for a deal at this hour. here as we approach 5:30 and as we get even closer to the deadline. Rick is in Tonawanda. Rick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Joe? Congratulations on your nuptials. Catholic Health, for the past 10 years or so, they mothballed DeGraff, which means numerous floors that were staffed with nurses, empty beds. I thought about this when the COVID crisis first started, when they were talking about the shortage of hospital beds. Kenmore Mercy, it was actually kind of spooky. My father had to go for a pulmonology test on the fourth floor, and we got lost and turned around. It was like something out of Stephen King's Kingdom Hospital. The whole floor was outfitted. The beds were all made. The nurses' stations still had computers and everything, but the whole floor was empty. I mean, there had to be 40, 50, 60 rooms with beds. That's how many staff that they've cut in the past 10 years. Full disclosure, I am a lifelong union member, not with the healthcare system. And I do sympathize with unions to some degree. There's good ones and there's bad ones. But there's only so much you can cut. And this COVID crisis just came back and bit them in the behind. That's basically all I can say is, you know, I understand they have to be competitive. That's a given. It's a competitive market out there. But they have cut and cut and cut. And they're realizing they can't cut anymore. And these nurses are overworked and understaffed. Custodials understaffed and overworked. Food services overstaffed and understaffed and overworked. And there's only so much you can cut. I don't know anybody that's been in the hospital and they've seen what they've charged for these rooms. It's not cheap. So somebody's making some money somewhere.
You know, Rick, let me ask you a question. You said you're a lifelong union guy. I'd like a little insight on what, you know, we're 6.5 hours away from a deadline that was given. What are negotiations like at these final hours? What's the communication between Catholic Health and the union right now?
It gets very tense. Fortunately, in my career, we never went on strike. We got to the 11th hour once in my career. We voted to a yes vote on strikes three times, but we've always come to a common ground, and it's got to be a give and take, and somebody's not giving. And just with the cuts that they've made in the past 10 years, and like I say, I have a union bias.
Right.
But the money that they've saved, just imagine DeGraff Hospital. You've seen it, correct?
Yes, yeah, on Twin City Highway.
And right now it's strictly an emergency room.
Right.
It's a good emergency room, and they have inpatient, occupational, and physical therapy. But other than that, that whole building, basically, for patient rooms, is being unused. How much money did they save with the staff being cut there? And a whole floor that I'm aware of, it could be more, at Kenmore Mercy. That's why I was not chuckling because of the gravity of the situation, but when they were talking about running out of hospital beds, I could come up with a couple hundred just between two facilities in the local area. I don't know.
Rick, you make some really good points, and I really appreciate the call. That's Rick in Tonawanda opening the line for you and talking about that hospital, DeGraff, down the street from where we are right now. You know, with the empty rooms, but they have the hospital beds, as Rick said, they have the nursing stations. It's a very interesting and I think a very good point Rick makes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I don't think this song gets enough plays. This is a great song. Usually overlooked. It's a good song. Europe, the final countdown. Beamer in for Bowerly, the final segment. See what we did there? And we are in the final countdown as we are a little over 6 hours away from the deadline of union healthcare workers and Catholic Health when it comes to Mercy Hospital. And if that deadline is not met, we will be seeing a strike tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And as I keep mentioning, it'll be covered right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. No need to go anywhere else, as we will have you fully covered all morning. And a programming note, I will be in for David Bellavia tomorrow morning, and Mike Siegel will be in for Tom Bowerly. Tom Bowerly returns to the show with his name on it on Monday, so you won't want to miss that. 803-0930, asking for your account of what's going on in local hospitals. We've heard from a lot of nurses today, really shedding light on the situation. And also, has this affected you? Will this affect you if it goes any further when we are talking about elective surgeries that will be suspended at Mercy Hospital? 803-0930. Chris is in Niagara Falls. Chris, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What do you got for us this afternoon?
I've been a nurse for 30 years. And when I heard Mary talking a little while ago, I had to call. And I agree with everything she had to say. Nurses, I mean, you're a certain kind of person to be a nurse. And you work in a hospital, you take care of medically fragile people. The people that are admitted to hospitals now are very sick. I mean, if a doctor can send someone home to be managed at home, they will. So you have people that are completely unstable in the hospital. So like I said, I've been a nurse for 30 years. My daughter is a nurse. And she works at Mercy. And the patient load she gets is insane. She'll have 6, 7, 8 patients, including COVID patients, that are medically fragile. High flow oxygen. She works on a heart unit. It's a lot. And when I left working a hospital, I worked in a different local hospital, my daughter makes $1 more than I made at that hospital. And I left the hospital 19 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And she's dealing with double the patients that she's used to. Is she putting in overtime hours?
She has. She has. She's picked up extra days. But it's just because it's so short-staffed. And the nurses, in a way, we did it to ourselves, like Mary was saying earlier. We did it to ourselves because a certain type of person becomes a nurse, and you want to stay there. You become a nurse to help those people, to help sick people. And you're not going to leave until the work is done. So even 20 years ago, we worked short-staffed, and management really didn't help that much back then. So it's been going on for decades.
Wow. Now, Chris, has your daughter talked about what the feeling is like around Mercy Hospital as we get close to this deadline?
I think people are just very distraught. I know that the vote to strike was very high. I was going to say it was over 90% of the staff had voted. And it's not just the nurses that they're taking advantage of. I mean, housekeeping, dietary, everybody's involved in patient care. And the whole hospital, I mean, has been, I feel they've been mistreated. But that's not new in healthcare, like I said.
Let me ask you, has your daughter thought of going to another hospital, maybe even leaving the profession with just how tenuous this has been over the last few months?
I don't think she'd leave the profession. When I left hospital nursing, I'm a nurse practitioner now, so I work in a different capacity. I would never work in a hospital, though I paid my dues.
Right. So just that's, you know, you've been there, done that, would not want to go back?
Oh, never.
No?
No. It's just because the way that nurses are treated, and you're there to take care of patients, and
right.
you want people depend on you and they rely on you. And like I said, the people that are admitted to a hospital now are so sick. The nurses really need more help than what they have.
I got to ask you, you know, knowing the field as well as you do, mm-hmm. and obviously having your daughter work there, are you surprised it's come this close to the deadline? And I mean, it looks more and more like there will be a strike.
I am very surprised. I don't know. It doesn't. I don't know. It sounds like there's I don't know, something afoot. It just seems like management would really try to work with the union to try to get things solved months ago. Like Mary said earlier, this has been going on for 15 months.
Right.
So
it's to me, it is so amazing that we've gotten this close. And, you know, the language coming out of Catholic Health doesn't sound like they're too they're too optimistic that we're going to have some kind of deal in 6 hours.
I don't know. I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, Chris, I appreciate all that information. Thank you so much. That is Chris in the Falls opening a line for you at 803-0930. And as she's mentioned, the wages and the current situation that a lot of nurses are working in right now, that has been echoed for the last 4 hours on our text board with the phone calls. And I urge you to please call in at 803-0930. And give us your account, because this is I really think this has shed a light for a lot of people that did not know the severity of what's going on. And what Chris said, 7 to 8 patients per nurse, that, you know, you would hope would be a rarity. But we've heard that from other nurses, that they're double their patient to nurse. They're having extra jobs added on. So while they have more patients than they're used to, they're also responsible for, you know, picking up the trash, taking out the trash, picking up food trays, doing other things that, you know, usually there are other people to do so they can focus on their patients. So they're getting more patients. They are they're getting more jobs thrown at them. And a lot of them are taking more days. So you're already burned out on your regular shift, on your regular 12-hour shift. And now you're going to pick up another day because of the staffing issues. And I mean, just think about the patients that are caught up in the middle of this, right? You're getting one nurse to you and 7 other people, which is not usual. And then you're getting a nurse that, you know, might have to step off the floor, might have to step away from the patients. It just seems like, again, this goes back to what I keep saying about a stressful situation. If you're in the hospital, it's a stressful situation. And seemingly, it's just adding to that stress. And I thank everyone who's called in today, everyone who has texted in today. Like I said, I thought this would be maybe 1-2 hours. But this is something you guys wanted to talk about, something you guys wanted to shed light on. And I'm very thankful for that. I know the listeners are very thankful for that. And really putting this into perspective, the staffing shortage and what that does for patients in Western New York. Again, I thank you for the calls. I thank you for the texts. You guys have really shed light on this situation. And we will have this, you know, as soon as things start to develop, we will be on the air live with everything you need to know. So no need to go anywhere else. We'll have you covered right here on WBEN and online at WBEN.com. Follow us at Twitter on Twitter at News Radio 930. Now, before we get out of here, so tomorrow I'm in for Bellavia. And then after filling in for David, I am going to move in. We are moving into our new apartment. I'm not going to tell you where, but we're moving into our new apartment. And I'm really excited. You know, it's they just finished it, and excited to get a look. You know, the look we've had of the apartment was one of those 3D tours, but the apartment wasn't done. So we couldn't get a look at it. It's brand new. So we got a look at what the plan is, what the floor plan is. So I'm very excited to go check it out. I'm excited to have a balcony, too. You know, maybe put a Virginia Tech flag on it. Excited for these kinds of things. These are the things I think about. But, you know, the moving in process starts tomorrow. And, of course, that's something I'm going to want to talk about with you. Your move-in stories, your moving in horror stories, kind of like our traffic horror stories yesterday. And maybe some pointers at having a smooth, easy move in to make everything easy on everyone else. So we'll talk about that. And obviously, if this strike happens, we will continue our discussion from today, because if we have nurses and healthcare professionals picketing, we're obviously going to have to bring it to you, and we will be prepared to do that. I know you don't like when I talk sports, so I'm going to keep it very brief. But please, if you have no rooting interest in the Thursday night game, I have Cincinnati in my survivor pool this week. And every week, people are people are falling off. So the quicker I can win this money, right, the quicker other people lose. That's how I look at it. I don't want to wait till the end of the season. I'd like everyone to fall off now. And by mid-season, I already know that I'm the winner of the survivor pool. That'll be pretty cool. But we'll see. I've got Cincinnati against Jacksonville tonight. I think it's a pretty safe bet, and I'm not sure when I could use Cincinnati again in a survivor pool. So looking forward to that tonight. You know, I was not a huge fan of the Thursday night football, and I'm not when it's your team. Like, if the Bills were playing tonight, I wouldn't be overly excited. But when it's not your team and it's something you can fall asleep watching, it's kind of nice to have football on Thursday. Kind of feels like the unofficial start to the weekend. You know, like back in the day, when Seinfeld was on Thursdays, it was kind of like a kickoff to the weekend. Must see Thursdays with Seinfeld and Frasier on NBC. That was like the beginning of the weekend. Stay up a little late. It was the first show my parents would let me stay up late to watch, because when we were younger, we had to be in bed by 9. But Seinfeld came on at 9. So the last few seasons of Seinfeld, I was able to stay up and watch Seinfeld and Frasier. You know, I felt like an adult at, you know, 7 and 8 years old because I got to stay up and watch Seinfeld. But that was, you know, a nice kickoff to the weekend, I guess. I don't know. And also tomorrow, Netflix. If you've been waiting like I have, Seinfeld starts streaming on Netflix tonight at midnight. So not only is the Mercy Hospital deadline at midnight, Seinfeld starts streaming on Netflix at midnight tonight. So maybe a good way to start your weekend if you're thinking of having one of those lazy weekends where you stay inside and binge watch something. A lot easier to binge watch a show when it's streaming than get up every 5 episodes and flip the DVD. You know what I mean?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.